shadow of a doubt, simply because none of us has ever been able to go into heaven and see the sacred scroll that has our names written on it. You know, he said to the apostles on one occasion a very marvelous statement. He said, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you, but he said, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And dearly beloved, if our names are written in heaven, they've been there for a long time. Since the beginning of the time. Since before the beginning of time. Now we can go down to Washington, D.C. and we can see a monument down there of the names written on it of all of the men who died in Vietnam and, you know, suffered his death as a result of that battle. But we have no ability to go into heaven and to look upon that scroll of the names written there. But I hope and trust and believe that my name is there. If I did not believe that, there would be no sense for me to go on. No sense at all. I would just might as well throw in the towel and give it up. But I have that hope. And that hope sustains me and keeps me going in this world. And so if we are children of God, as I've said, we have a responsibility. And that basic responsibility is twofold. It's simple. It's twofold. Everything that we do, everything that we have emanates from that twofold principle. And first of all, it says we are to love God. Not just admit the fact that he's there and maybe recognize the fact that he's there, but to actually love him. And set our hearts on him. Set our minds on him. Set our affection on him. Everything that we have should be directed toward God. So that we look not upon the things of this world, but we look upon the things of heaven and immortal glory. Keep our minds off of these things. Paul says, forgetting those things that are past. Don't look back. You know, if I look back at my former way of life, I'd be pretty sad. I get pretty sad sometimes because I do that. But he said, forgetting those things, let us go on forward and press toward that prize. And as a result of that, I think there'll be great blessings that we just won't be able to describe. As the Brother Tillman said yesterday, it's very difficult with words. Brother Gary said that, I believe. Love God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And he says, and then the second commandment that he's given to us as his children, nothing hard, nothing difficult. He said, love one another as yourself. He said, why? Because love's of God. If you can love your brother in spite of the fact that maybe your brother doesn't return to you the same level or kind of love, then you can do that through the strength that Christ gives you. Because he says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We have that ability. If we'll exercise this, be attentive to these things and try to do that which is right in the sight of God. It's an effort, but it's very easy. Jesus Christ, he says, take my yoke upon you. You come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You notice, he didn't say that to an indiscriminate number of people. He didn't just say, come unto me, all ye. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those that are laden down with the weight of your sins and you're laboring against these things, these are the ones he's talking about. He's the friend of sinners. He came to save sinners. The Bible says he came to seek and to save. Not just to seek and give them an opportunity to be saved, but he came to seek and to save. That was the purpose that he came for. And he didn't fail. He has saved every single one that he came to save, and that is the glorious truth of his sovereign grace. And it has magnified his name above all names. And he has been set above everything. And that's wonderful. And so we have a privilege in this life to love God and to love one another. Why? Because we're children of God. So he said, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. There's the evidence, the manifest evidence that we can have that gives us the hope and assurance that we need in this life. So Sometimes it's very difficult to love one another because maybe things just don't work out right. But we have to overlook these things and put them behind us and love in spite of that. You know, I tell people that if you can't love me as a brother, love me as a friend. And if you can't love me as a friend, love me as an enemy, because the Bible says pray for your enemies. And if you love me as your enemy, pray for me. I talked one time to a young fellow about some of these truths, and believe it or not, I couldn't hardly accept what he said to me, because I was trying to show him some of these precious truths of God's sovereign love, and he said, "Wow, that's the most horrible thing I've ever heard in my life." He says, "It's straight from the pit of hell." Well, boy, that just like to knock me over. And I said, "Well, brother, pray for me then. If you think I'm so wrong, pray for me." But I don't think that's where it's from. When I was in college, I began to try to share some of these things with my fellow students, and I got branded as a devil going about teaching devil's doctrines, you know. And that was kind of hard for me to take. But to me, when you understand the truth and you know it, you've got to love it. And as a result of that, it don't matter what man says about it. I was intimidated at the time because it was new to me. And I began to wonder, I said, "Well, am I really telling the truth here? Is this really the truth? Why are so many people against it?" But I believe it is. And regardless of the odds, I realize that 50 million people can believe something and 50 million people can be wrong about what they believe. You know, that's true. But I believe the kingdom of God exists here because the Lord Jesus Christ brought it. He came and established it. It's not the kingdom that the Jews thought, because it's a spiritual kingdom. And we can enjoy the benefits of that kingdom while we're in this world. And hopefully the Lord will open up the windows of heaven to us and give us these blessings. But I believe that some of the blessings that we receive of God are dependent upon our obedience in this world. Because it's very easy for us to get hard-hearted. You know, we still have the flesh. You ever get to the point where you think you can't have Satan influence you, you're barking up the wrong tree. Because the Bible tells us he's a roaring lion, as a roaring lion going around seeking whom he may devour. And brother, he's after us all the time. And we have to be very wary of that. We have to examine ourselves constantly, whether or not we be in the faith. So that's very important. You know, I'm reminded the word examine. Sometimes these words pop into your head and the scriptures can come out. You know, when Peter was put in prison, that's a marvelous story. You want to see the power of God. He was put in prison, and it says that he had two chains put on him. And he was sleeping between two guards, and they were doorkeepers that were keeping the doors of that prison. And man, they had him so tightly sewed up that it had taken an army to get him out. But in the middle of the night, the Bible says an angel came to him and smote him in the side and said, "Get up, Peter. We're leaving this place." And he took him out of that prison, and Peter thought he was seeing a vision, and then the gates opened of their own accord. And he walked out, and when the angel left him, he suddenly realized, "God's delivered me." And he went to the house where they were praying for him and knocked on the door. And when Rhoda, I think was her name, came to the door, she couldn't believe it. She was so glad and went to tell them that Peter's out there. They said, "You're mad." And here they are praying that he'll be, you know, delivered by the Lord. But you know, it says, when the morning came, there was no small stir among those soldiers as what had become of Peter. And then Herod come down because he wanted Peter. He had just killed James, and he saw that it pleased the Jews, so he grabbed hold of Peter. And he thought he was going to do the same thing. And when he came down, it says he examined those soldiers. He wanted to find out just what had happened, and when he couldn't find an answer that suited him, he demanded and declared that they be put to death. And so there were some soldiers that lost their lives at that particular time. But I'm reminded again of another soldier, a man who was a centurion. And this centurion was a man that was in the Roman army. He was a Gentile. And he was the one that oversaw the crucifying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And whenever he saw the things that were happening, and he saw this man hanging on the tree, and he heard the things that he said, and he saw the darkness, he said, surely this man is the Son of God. I believe that man is a child of God, or else he couldn't say that. He would have never recognized that. And I hope that in your heart this morning you can say with a surety that this man is the Son of God. We've not been with God. We've not been with Jesus. We have not seen the marks in his hands and the mark on the side, the cut on his side. But with our hearts, we can see him with an eye of faith. And the light of his love that's been shed abroad in our hearts, we can see these things and know them and be assured of them. I'm thankful to the Lord that he's given me that understanding. So I'll just continue here for a little bit and stop. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There's a finality in that. When Jesus Christ came here to be the propitiation for our sins, that settled the matter as far as God is concerned. It was no longer an open book. You know, many would say that Jesus came and was a sacrifice for all mankind. The book was still open. Things still had to be done. Each man separately and individually had to do something in order to assuage God's wrath toward them. Jesus' blood was not enough. Man must make that personal decision. And that, to me, is the spirit of Antichrist that's in the world, because it detracts from the glory of Jesus Christ and robs him of the glory that he's brought to himself and that God has given him, because he was the propitiation for our sins. It means he did away with our sins. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. And I like what Brother Powell said about that. You know, that you hear other preachers sometimes and you hear such good things, I like to repeat them. But he said that if you'll think about it, if you'll start going east, you'll go east forever. And if you go west, you'll go west forever. They never meet. But you go north for a while and pretty soon you're going south. So our sins have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. They'll never meet. And we can be thankful to God for that and praise his name. Brother, if you'll come ahead.